Well, some people have been so afraid to go back into the bedroom where they were sleeping, where something came and sat down. You know, you can read all of the psychological, scientific side. It can talk about certain, synapses in the brain, chemicals in the body, things that are, you know, released when you're into REM sleep. There's a lot of things that can be said about sleep paralysis, but it seems like hundreds of thousands of more individuals are having it, more than ever in all of history, more than any other time. And that, you know, there's a great search on what it's all about, and there's a lot of questions. But clearly, there's some answers, too. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. On the web, Shatter Live tonight, the broadcast, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. here on a Wednesday night. It is October the 20th, 2010. Now, we've got some news for all the 2012ers out there. All the 2012ers, you've seen the news today. They're saying that the calendar count, the Mayan long calendar count, may be wrong. Maybe it already happened. Maybe it's not going to happen at all. The end of the world now is in flux. Who knows if the 2012 calendar is wrong when the end of time is coming. I mean, after all, they're also reporting a great catastrophic, failure, ending, something to happen to kind of cleanse the earth. Now, that's something we need to look at, because that doesn't come from the Mayan calendar count at all, or the prophecies. That comes from occult spirits that have communicated their agenda long ago. And are marching towards that day right now. And I believe that's why there's so much sleep paralysis. There's so much visitation. This week on the website, ShatterTheDarkness.net, here's the title for the theme of the week: The Visitation, Communication, and Contact with the Spirits. What do they want? Quote, something or someone came into your room and sat on your bed. Maybe you played with that old Ouija board, and it answered. It is October, and it does seem like there's more supernatural interaction this month than most. We will focus on the titles of the live shows. Now listen, Monday was Knock Knock Who's There, Mediums, Ouija Boards, Channelers. Tuesday, Sleep Paralysis, The Nine Factors. And it touched on the issue of incubus succubus also. Now, we ran out of time to give the answers, so tonight, Wednesday night, we're going to give you some, answers to, or what to do to completely shut the door on that kind of visitation. Now, I will say this, that when it comes to the visitation during the night, and we mentioned again that why is it at the night? Well, it seems like even biblical revelation tells us that the enemy is at work at night. It also is true that the body is tired, the mind is less perceptive, and when you're going to sleep, there can be some interactions that, we're too tired or not able to ward off. May have a lot to do with that. And that's also the time when rituals and things like that occur. Listen again, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the website. If you're brand new to The Voice, listen, take a look at the website. There are hundreds and hundreds of MP3s to download. If you go to the website, you'll have to take your time and, just like reading a book, going through the middle part of it down. You're going to see the live broadcasts and each and every day that we're on. Now, tonight, right after this live show, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we go on to the blog talk, The Ragged Edge Show, at 7 p.m. You can join the chat rooms. You can we do call-ins at times also, and it's a little more interactive. So that's on right after the show, and we're going to deal with ghosts and haunted buildings and places. Thursday night, Vampire Rage, Seduction, Bloodlust. That's at 6 p.m. And then Tom Horn of Raiders News Network and their radio program, they're going to interview me. That's going to be, I believe, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. And then Friday night, we're going to deal with Halloween, All Hallows Eve, and an update on the ritual issues that are going on. Now, that's a vital issue because of this month that we're in. And I've already said again and again and again, keep a watch in your city, in your neighborhood, in your area, because between the 13th and the 30th, right now is the week that is on the calendar called, abduction time. where they look for young children, girls specifically, to abduct and take. And we've seen this lately in the last 2 weeks, right here in our area. Just last week in the Kent, Ohio area, a little 8-year-old girl was attempted to be abducted. She was very smart in running the other way and screaming, getting away. Now, today on the news, as I'm driving out to an area to check on some stuff that deals with the ancient bloodlines and the people that are involved and all the rest, sure enough, on the news, two young girls, once again, an attempted abduction, a young man in his 20s, spiked brownish blonde hair and sunglasses. So they're looking for him, and we need to really realize that this is real, and children go missing, and abductions do occur, and it's all for ceremonial preparation and readying them for the rituals, sexual and human sacrifice, all involving blood, all the way to the end of the month, and it includes November 1st, the High Satanist Holy Day, and then the 4th, Satanic Revels. And again, you can take a look for yourself on the Satanic calendar on the web, do a little research. That's only those that are listed. For those of us that have dealt with the underground for some time, we know that it involves more than just what is listed. It involves a weekly, small, and other size type rituals that go on constantly. And that's, again, the ramping up. Now, tonight as we get into this, we changed the theme a little bit because we wanted to answer what we did not get to last night. So with that involved, and let me mention one more thing. Paranormal Activity number 2 is coming out Friday. Now, again, here it comes out in, you know, and all the Freddy movies are out, all the Friday the 13th movies are out, all the movies that deal with the blood and the guts and the demons and the killing, hell and fear and chainsaw and all the rest. And now here comes Paranormal Activity number 2. Now, everybody kept asking me, did you see the first one? Did you watch it? Did you go see it? Go see it, Russ. It's scary. On and on and on and on. Well, like a book, that's how I do with movies and even with music at time, lyric analysis. Francis Schaeffer in apologetics taught the concept of presuppositional analysis and analyzing, the media and films and so forth. Now, you're going to notice a lot of films on these subjects because that's what's selling, that's what's on the minds and hearts, that's what's being promoted, and it does have an effect. It really does have an effect. I saw Paranormal 1. I did. I went to see it in an early morning thing by myself and two other people in the theater. As I watched it, I got bored and finally towards the end just left. And we've been in homes. We've been engaged in the real stuff. And what I was seeing there, I wasn't sure, you know, how much was being reported as true. And so I don't know how the next one's going to be. The clips on it show it to be even a little more scary. And, of course, that's what they want. That's what the effect. That's the chilling effect. It's like riding a roller coaster. This is what, you know, movies like this do. But they also can open up doors and they can have things depending upon who made them. Like in the old days, Spellbinder and the old Exorcist movies. So many things that there are pieces of truth and then Hollywood and then what are you left with? So all kinds of activity. And listen, it only goes to what's been occurring this. Look at the other television programs on cable, paranormal young people, paranormal activities, ghost hunters everywhere. And so this is something that, you know, the question is why? Why so many psychics? Why remote viewers growing by the thousands? Why everybody involved? Well, because the ramping up of the other side is at such a level, it's off the charts. And so the experiences, the engagements, the supernatural touches and things that cause people to either be in fear or to be drawn in to say, what is that? Second hour tonight, I'll be talking about some of the, quote, haunted places people have taken me to. And we'll tell you about some of those experiences, Crybaby Bridge here in the area, and some of the other things in buildings. Literally, some people have just lost it and went running for the hills when the slightest thing would occur. Listen, it's not that it's funny, but there is some hilarious things that can occur. We need to understand what's really going on, though. So tonight, as we deal with the sleep paralysis issue, because again, many of you listening right now, and some of you that have just written me today, and we're explaining about what occurred in, as a matter of fact, I'm going to pull one of those, and again, no names, I won't do that, but I will read, you know, one of those, simple confessions, along with calls that have come in. By the way, don't forget that we have an alert call line where you can be a whistleblower, you can share information. And we have that on the website, 330-470-1303. Let me say it again, 330-470-1303. Now, nobody's going to answer. And if you call, nobody's going to be able to call you back. It's only an alert line. It's only a line to give an alert about something in your area, an alert about the rituals that are going on, an alert about, activity, and even the idea of a whistleblower giving information. Your information is secure. I'm the only one that gets to it, so nobody else will take a look at it, and that's important for you to know. We were looking at one of the, there's one asking for help, and I'm going to find that here in just a second. They're asking about the sleep paralysis issue. Now, again, I don't know if you have been involved in any way or had some experience. You can write to us at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And you can let us know, what's going on, what you're feeling, what you're seeing, what your experience is. Now, here comes what I'm going to just share, an email since yesterday's show. You might be listening right now, and I'm not going to share your name because I don't have permission. It says, quote, "My wife, myself, and my daughters just moved into a house. Since we've been here, strange things have been happening. Anywhere from candles lighting by themselves to the feeling of being pushed out of bed and bumps and thumps, doors rattling, and the dog is terrified." And this is where, and again, this person, it says, "I've prayed over the house, but I think more is needed. It has not stopped." Well, we're gonna add in the more tonight. We're going to add in the issues. Now, some will say, "Well, I just prayed over it," or "I said, Lord, let it stop." But there's going to be some reasons why there's a few extra things you might need to do. And Josiah in the Old Testament did some of these things. He did some of these things because, well, the doorways remained. As long as the doorway remains. I don't know if you remember yesterday, we talked about, well, what if somebody in the family has gotten into something and maybe they've got spirit attachments and they bring it in? What about a friend that comes over that's involved in something? What about an amulet or an object? And what about somebody who lived there in the home in the past that did a ritual down in the basement? Here's what we need to look for, the doorways. The only reason there's an engagement is there's a doorway. Is it generational? Is it because something happened, big doors were opened up by grandma, grandpa, whatever, and they really got into some deep, dark spiritual stuff. When they died, the spirits that they allowed, well, they claim legalities. That's a familiar spirit. They want to stay in the family, and they want to bring influence to the next generation and the next. And it's not that they have full-blown rights to everybody, but they have a little inch, and they want to take a mile. That's how the other side works. That's why I'm kind of astounded that even among believers, there's not enough information, because we haven't really read all of the scriptures, really looked over and studied all of what the scripture says about this kind of interaction. As a matter of fact, listen to this. Listen to these words Because it all involves what people today would say paranormal, supernatural, spirituality, sleep paralysis, things like that. I'm going to read something. Quote, "Then the spirit of the Egyptians will be demoralized within them, and I will confound their strategy. So they will resort to idols and ghosts of the dead." Where's that from? What about this one? "Casts spells, asks ghosts or spirits for help, or consult the dead." How about this one? "Sheol below wakes up to meet you when you come. It wakes up the ghosts of the dead, all who were leaders on the earth. It raises all," and goes on. One is out of Isaiah, one is out of Deuteronomy, and the next one is out of Isaiah. And it deals with, now in each case, the word ghosts, if you go to the Hebrew, it's ruah, it is spirit. And when you go to the New Testament, when it mentions ghost, for example, in Luke 24, "Look at my feet, you can see that it is really me." Now this is Jesus talking. This is Jesus Christ. By the way, did I greet you? May, again, the blessing of the Lord Jesus, grace and mercy, his presence, well, be extended. We do pray. We do believe that this is a hour of, God's interaction and God's embrace. It is providential, supernatural. And don't be surprised if you're somebody that recons the show, if you're somebody that's a seeker, that God begins to engage you. Here's the words of Jesus, Luke 24. You can go read for yourself. Verse 39, when Jesus says, this is after the resurrection, "Look at my feet, you can see that it is really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see I do." Now that is, massive demonstrative evidence when he's giving them, here's a physical body. Jesus was raised from the dead bodily. And so he's mentioning this, but again, both times the word ghost translated is from the original Greek spirit. That's the common word, whether Old or New Testament. So we're going to touch on ghost issues maybe in the next hour pretty heavily. But here we are just taking a look at, well, this issue. Is it a ghost in your room? Is it Uncle George that died years ago coming back? And for many, it has been alien presence. In all of the stuff, the truth is that the authority of the living Christ and all that is done in a biblical way can totally end sleep paralysis. So when someone writes to me and says, "We've prayed, but we haven't seen everything go away yet," well, prayer is where it all begins, but I got five things to deal with tonight. And we need to take a look at all of these when it comes to this, I call it a visitation. I don't say sleep paralysis, though you're kind of in sleep, out of sleep, waking up, you're paralyzed, you feel that somebody's pressing down on you. And listen, more and more cases, you know, people are ashamed and afraid to say, "And it also touched me. And it also touched me in a sexual way." Now, please understand, being a counselor for 30-some years, I've had to listen to stories of sex with spirits and the bondage and then trying to get out of it and the spirit turning angry and mean and the harm and the doorway that opens up. So some things can start with sounds and a feeling of a presence and then go on and on and on. And that's part of the issue when it really is a dark spirit that they want to come with more and more and more and more. If you've done your prayers, that may back off a number of things. Some people have put on praise worship music and have sung praises and so forth. That can clearly also back off things. Ultimately, you know, when you don't know what to do, just asking Jesus. And I'm going to tell you a true story, and I think I've told this one other time ever, maybe, in all these years. Now, me coming out of the occult background, coming out of what I was into, when I got saved in September of 75, I mean, it was a major exchange. Christ came in, the Spirit of God came in, he filled me with the Spirit of God that night. And all I could do in going to sleep that night is closing my eyes and literally seeing myself, you know, crying out to thousands and thousands of individuals to pull away from the seduction, to pull away from spiritual deception. And now that was 35, 36 years ago when I constantly had kind of like a vision every time I closed my eyes. It occurred right after I got saved. That night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, when the Spirit of God, I was filled and just filled with joy, filled knowing that I was cleansed. Everything was there. And I went up the next day to friends to tell them. I didn't know where to buy a Bible. Went to Kmart, bought a Bible, and began to read like crazy. Found a number of my friends. They got saved. And we began to have a tremendous kind of a spiritual heyday. And we were wanting to witness to everybody, starting to go to church, growing, learning anything we could. And within about a two-week period, I was coming home from a Bible study. Now, I didn't know anything different as a new believer coming back into that same basement that through my high school years. Now, that's where I practiced meditation. That's where I had posters on the wall. One was a poster of a demon coming out of the fire, a ritual circle in fire. In that room, in that old shag carpet, I had that in there in the end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s, there were hits of acid that were found. In that room were objects and strobe lights and all kinds of things. I mean, that was Party City coming out of the late 60s, and that's where we did all the stuff. But what I didn't know, the doorways were still there. So I come home for this Bible study, and I'm telling you the truth before God. Here's what occurs. I come into that room all by myself, nobody else in the house, big house, and I come downstairs in the basement. It's quiet. I walk across the room and lay down on the couch. Now, my room was half of the entire basement, and it was a finished room. So I lay down on the couch, and I'm kind of falling asleep. And the next thing I know, and here's how I'll explain it, because I can remember it so well, though it occurred 35 years ago. It was as if hooves were walking, I mean, like grinding down to the ground. Thing was literally walking across the floor towards me. In my mind's eye, I could somewhat sense it, see it. And it was definitely demonic. It was something that had legs with hooves. It was, I could feel it. I could feel that it was angry. I could feel that it was menacing. I could feel that it was my enemy. I felt fear, no question about that. And again, as a brand new Christian, only reading the Bible for a few weeks, beginning to grow, I didn't know anything. I didn't know about authority. I didn't know about the armor of God. I didn't know about spiritual warfare, really. So I buried my face into the couch looking down, kind of hiding my face. And I just began to say, oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. And I just kept saying that and saying that and saying that. I could literally feel something moving closer and closer. I literally thought that some hand with all of its claws was going to grab me in the back. I really did. And there was nowhere I could go. I could say that I was only paralyzed because I was really afraid. And all I knew is to call out Jesus, 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 and laid there. And you know what happened next? All I remembered then was that I woke up in the morning. And it was like peace like a river. It was like there was, you know, and the whole room was filled with the presence of God. And I was filled with that joy and the fullness of Christ. And I was sitting up, looking around the room. Light was coming in so I could see more. And it was amazing to me because I knew that Jesus had cleared the room. I knew that the Savior that saved me, in me, with me, took care of whatever was there. But I also felt clearly prompted. You know what I did? I got up. I went to the walls and pulled off all those posters, found all the objects, got all the occult books, got everything and anything that would be considered a doorway, anything that was evil, anything that was wrong, everything that I got into. I got all of it, filled up a bag, filled up some more things. I got old 8-tracks and albums and things, Lucifer's Friend and other things that I was listening to. I got all of these things. We lived out in the suburbs, so we were allowed to burn trash. So I took it out to the trash bin. I got a can of gas. Nobody was home. And I just dumped gas over all of it. I found the Ouija board. I found all the stuff that I had. I collected everything, took it all out there, threw the gas on it, and I lit it. And as it began to burn, I began to just thank the Lord for saving me and freeing me and delivering me and protecting me. I realized even more than ever how real the dark side, how evil, how hellish, how much in danger spiritually I was. I stood there now with a feeling cleansed from all sin, and the presence of God in me overwhelming the joy of the living Christ was there. And it was a tremendous experience for me. And nobody told me other than feeling prompted after that engagement. I think, as I look back, that whatever that was a spirit that I had given room to through all the things that I was doing. And it was coming to claim its rights. It was coming to claim that it had rights to who and what I was. And angry that I was something else and that I had begun to, you know, and in my heart anyway, close all the doors. And so what happened then was, I think literally, and I found this again and again, with demonized people, possessed people, individuals we prayed with where demons throw the possessed to the ground and begin to hurt them. Again and again. I've seen this dozens of times. I've seen spirits say, I'll kill her. You can't have her. I've heard them scream it, yell it, say all kinds of stuff. But again, when it came to the name of Jesus, they don't care about Buddha, Quetzalcoatl. They don't care about Muhammad. They don't care about these names. But when it comes to the real Christ, the living Christ, the Christ of the cross, when I mention things about the cross and the blood of Christ, demons literally shriek and cringe and fear. So in all that I'm going to share, sometimes just in dependency, we cry out, Jesus save me, Jesus deliver me, Jesus take care of this, Jesus stop this. And I've listened to abductees down in Roswell, when Joe Jordan put them on stage, sharing how years and years and years of this sleep paralysis, the visitation, abductee, alien, so-called alien presence, when they realized it was demonic, it was not extraterrestrial, it was extra-dimensional, and they cried out to Jesus, and or somebody led them to Christ and began to pray with them. And I listened to abductee after abductee tell about how they've got freedom. That they're completely free now and nobody, they're totally free of the experiences. And we've seen the same. When going to a house where kids were, you know, being scratched or having fear, running to their mom's room. And after doing the prayer, after asking the Lord, after taking authority, but also closing doors. Now let me tell you something. When I began to go to college, Malone College in the area, I was going to Moody Bible First, then college at Malone, and I was back living in my mom and dad's home in the basement, and in that room, now it's all cleared out. As far as all the junk and all the stuff, and it's been prayed through, let me tell you something. I don't know how, I think I lived there another year or so before my mom and dad moved out and sold the house. I never had that experience again. I have never, never, never had that kind of experience again. Now, I can tell you about other things, ritual engagements and what I believe would be astral projection, things like that. Yeah, sure, that's in the midst of ritual warfare and warfare with covens and dealing with all that, no doubt. And the Spirit of God, again, inside of us. Oh, Christian, please get familiar with God the Holy Spirit. Hey, by the way, on the ShatterTheDarkness.net site, absolutely free. Scroll down to the left when you see a little red flame. You'll see where it says God the Holy Spirit. You click on that, Let me look. I'm looking at it right now. There's about 20 or 24 hours of teaching sessions on God the Holy Spirit, personality of Spirit, deity of Spirit, Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit in Jesus, Holy Spirit before salvation, Holy Spirit at salvation, Holy Spirit in the Word, Holy Spirit in prayer, Holy Spirit in spiritual warfare, Holy Spirit in gifts. I forget, I did this about a year and a half ago, and it's been up. But now it's absolutely free. There's, I believe, notes that you can get with it, outline notes. But look, take advantage. Those of you that are downloading in the Czech Republic and Russia and Finland and all over the rest of the world, please, it's all absolutely free. And I've noticed yesterday on the servers that there are some of you downloading. And that's just a help. And it's you spending time with the Lord and spending time becoming familiar with the voice, presence of the Spirit of God. Now, in the midst of prayer and in the midst of warfare and in the midst of deliverance, God, the Holy Spirit, is there. He is the cutting edge of guidance and leading and help in all of these areas that we need. And that's why you seek the Lord, and the Lord is going to help you if you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, I can only tell you, yes, I love you. God loves you. God wants you. Nobody wants you more than the living Christ, who gave his life, who opened the door. Yes, a door. Now, this is the door to God. This is the doorway. Christ is called this in the Gospel of John. And simply these words he spoke in John 7, that whoever believes in him, as the Scripture has said, out of their inmost being, well, the Holy Spirit. You read it in chapter 7 sometime. Gospel of John. The great invitation. Red, yellow, black, or white, whatever nation you are from, and right now, this moment, the invitation and the summons for you to return to God through Christ. See, who he is and what he's done is what God has done to give the doorway, to fix you from the inside out and bring you into instantaneous and eternal relationship. You know what it involves? Indestructible immortality. If you're a seeker, you need to look into the Gospel of John. Just open up to God. Listen, we're talking about someone that loves you so much that he went to the cross, where the greatest spiritual breakthrough in all of fallen human history occurred. Nothing higher than this. Nothing beyond this. Well, as we look over these areas tonight, I have about 25 minutes to give you the total of 5 areas that will help. And I know we wanted to touch on dead people tonight. We'll do that a little bit because we're touching the same realms. This is what ghost hunters and paranormal researchers and individuals that believe their third eye has been opened all are dealing with. But when it comes to visitations, harassments, you can call it sleep paralysis. It's really just, spirit visitation. On Tuesday night, October the 19th, I went over 9 factors and doorways and the reasons why it could be happening. For some people, instantaneously, they're going to know. Now, for this dear individual that wrote me about what's happening in their life, and this dear friend writes, I've prayed over the house, but I think more is needed since it has not stopped. Well, listen, it's all about those doorways. That's what it is with an individual that has spiritual stuff directly occurring to them. What are the doorways? Again, somebody else that came into the house that has spirits, an object that has demonic presence on it, any kind of occult practices. Again, maybe the past. Somebody was in the house and did rituals and spells. Maybe somebody that lives in the apartment below or the house next door or somewhere really close, and they're doing rituals in there, and they're literally open up gateways. Maybe somebody's angry and doing spells. Maybe somebody's doing astral projection. And I started to tell about that in the very end of the show last night. Let me tell you the full story real quick. This young man that we were dealing with, now he was very damaged by an occult practitioner, a Satanist. Now, he also had demons that we had to deal with deliverance in him, and all kinds of stuff occurred. But he also began to open up to some of the things that the Satanist showed him and even did. One time I went to visit him to see how he was doing, and he had candles on the floor, and I asked him, what in the world is he doing? Well, you see, he was going to see a psychologist, and one of the helpers, a younger trainee psychologist, a lady, blonde-haired lady, young, probably about 22, 23, was working with the hospital's psychologist. And he had me meet this person the week before, and he starts telling me about the candles and what he was doing. He showed me how he knelt down and some of the things he was doing. And he had learned through the Satanist, the undergrounder, and through, I think, spiritual spirits that helped him, astral projection, how to get out of your body, how to go. Now, again, thousands and thousands worldwide. Even militaries have weaponized the process, creating psi warriors and remote viewing issues, sanitizing it in some ways. But I can tell you that experientially, and I'll do a week sometime here in the future just on remote viewing, because it is not just remote viewing. It involves influence. It involves direct hands-on activity and attack, as did and does astral projection. Let me tell you something. While I'm speaking right now, we have in the past engaged people doing astral projection during the live show to bring harm. And again, that's experientially, you know, discerning and engaging and dealing with things. This young man, you know why he was doing astral projection? He flat out confessed that he was astraling out of his body. And again, it's because of a spirit that empowers. Now, did John the Baptist, not John on the Isle of Patmos, get out of his body? Paul get out of his body? Ezekiel come out of his body? When the Holy Spirit led them out to see what God wanted them to see and the purposes of revelation and biblical content, it involved the future at times when God did this. So the counterfeit, and in every case, whether remote viewer, people that have these abilities, it is a, you know, they can say it's an energy. I feel the energy. And I'm able to close my eyes and meditate and do what I do and then eventually feel myself and then lift up out of my body and go out. Now, there are some people that are deep practitioners of this. There are some, undergrounders, real chosen one Satanists, inside they all have these abilities because it's part of warfare where they can go out, feel the area, see the area, look for enemies, feel what's going on, and or goad individuals. He was going to the younger psychologist woman. He explained to me the color of the drapes in her room. His whole thing was to go and observe. It was like a voyeurism with the goal of touching her sexually. Absolutely correct. Now, I'm not going to get into psychic sex tonight, but I have engaged discussions with heavy-duty psi warriors on the subject, those who have explained it. I've read books written by people who, on a ongoing basis, practice it. Sex in your ethereal body out there in that realm. And I'm not even going to go into all of that because they do not realize that behind all of it is the empowerment, the energy they feel, the entities they may not see. The entities are feeding off of their stuff, guiding them, bringing revelation, and using them to lead others astray also. They're using them in, again, dirtying the soul. It's kind of like the way sexual rituals work in satanic sex rituals. But here it is in a spiritual realm. And this young man was learning all that he can learn about astral projection, getting out and going there and explaining. Now, I asked him how far he went with this. And I needed to take all of his stuff and ask him to repent and to shut this doorway. If you're an occultist, if you're a Satanist, if you're somebody that knows this, and you don't think it's wrong, you don't think that it is, listen, think of the idea of high crime. What if you've got a teenage daughter at your home and you find out someone in the neighborhood's coming and looking in on her with the goal of getting in and touching her and sexually molesting her? Please, let's get down to some truth here. There are those that are more than willing to do that when it comes to astral projection and using that ability. There are those that are willing to get into psychic assassination. There are those willing to get into psychic sex, even if that means engaging some people in their sleep that don't and have not invited them to do so. Now, I know there's probably, either now or later in the downloads, there are those that don't know Christ involved in this, and you know that we're talking and telling the truth on what's going on behind the scenes. Unbelievably, you go to bookstores now, you can buy books on this subject. I've got books on my shelves written by people that are pro psychic sex, pro going out, engaging people. What some of them don't want to say is that it can be used to attack people. It can be used to begin to plant thoughts and to bring control into minds and to plant ideas and to create harm. Now, some will say it's remote viewers, and others will say, well, it's used now. We can do remote healing. We can do we can go and do healing from a distance, and we can do good things. Well, you know what? The truth is they can do bad things. Like the Psy Warrior training at Fort Bragg Goat Lab, the goal to project the power to explode a heart, to be able to kill an enemy by exploding their heart. You should read the studies in the past on this issue. PK Man, where they talked about in the actual studies that they had to stop because it literally about exploded the heart of an individual. Well, let's talk about the five things that I definitely know that deals with, you know, getting rid of all this. The friend that has written to us, God bless you. We pray for you and may God give you wisdom tonight. And may this be helpful to you, because prayer is where it begins in seeking the Lord. And when it doesn't go away right away, begin to ask, Lord, why? What are the doorways? That is absolutely vital. Every time I do deliverance where we kick demons out of individuals, you know, I want to know how they got in there, so that the person can repent or the doors can be closed. You know, that's what I want to know. You know, if a rat gets into your house and you kill it, fine. But what if another one comes in? You got to get to the source. How is it getting in? And so that's the issue inside of the house, inside the issue of sleep, well, visitations in the night. Number one, begin to pour out the prayer, seek the Lord, ask the Lord to deal with it, use your authority to rebuke and take authority over all demonic presence like this, pray over your children, and don't scare anybody. You don't have to yell or scream. Authority doesn't mean you have to yell or scream. I've learned that I could just talk softly and quietly, commanding a powerful demon in a person to get out in the name of Jesus. So just take your time in praying. Don't make it scary for the kids, but show them the power of the Lord, the prayers that can be done. But also in that prayer, especially if you don't feel and you notice that it hasn't stopped, you need to find out what is the door, you know, what it is. So number two, you know why or how it has gotten there. How did it get there? So is it something that somebody brought in? Is there an amulet in the bedroom somewhere? Is there an object that somebody left? Is there a Ouija board under the bed mattress? Is there something that becomes the door that brings a level of legality? Was a ritual done there? Now, again, if you check everything out, there's nothing there. Okay. Pray through it. Is it something from the past? Is there somebody that has done something in the past? Maybe you can check out the people next door and ask them about who lived there and things like that. Either way, whatever you find out, you know, if it's an object, if it's things that are occult oriented, like it was in my basement, well, you need to go ahead and get rid of all of it. And I'm saying the best thing to do is burn it all. Break it up, burn it all. People have said to me, why didn't you just give it away? Why didn't you sell it and make money? It's like selling cocaine. Why would I sell something that dangerous? Why would I give away something that dangerous? See, we got to take counsel from the Word of God as a believer and not just the world around us. So I would say that whatever objects you find, whatever occult materials you find, things like that, if there's an occult symbol, pentagram issues, things like that, you got to get rid of those things. Things that are carved in, whatever it takes to sand it down, get rid of it, trash it all, break it up, and then burn it all up. Along with the prayers, Lord, destroy all of the work of the enemy. Don't forget 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And that's exactly what's happening when you're asking the Lord for this all to stop. You're asking the Lord, well, what's the doorways? You know, where's it coming through? So that's vital, that you pour out the prayers first in seeking the Lord, that you figure out what is the doorway, why is it even here, what's coming through. And then you, thirdly, get rid of the objects, get rid of the symbols, get rid of whatever doorway you're able to, get rid of it. Now, if it goes a little further, and that's where we're going to get into like number four, the idea that is there somebody, if you're living in an apartment complex, is there somebody below that's doing rituals, somebody in the building where they're opening up doors and it is beginning to affect you? And I would include in this, if you have somebody that's your enemy or somebody that knows you, if you're a spiritual leader and maybe somebody has, you know, taken an assignment to, you know, conjure spirits and send them targeting you. Now, let's deal with, first of all, just because there's people around doing stuff. Now, again, here's what you're able to do as a believer. Begin to pray against all of it. Ask the Lord to literally come with great power. You remember, you know, Psalm 68. The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands. Ask the Lord to come and bring just absolute attack on all of the demonic stuff. Ask him to come in and close all of the doors. Ask him to help shut down where anybody else is opening those doors. Pray against all of the summoning and spells and things that are being done. And here's what you can do in your room, in your house, in your apartment, if somebody just is around doing stuff. Now, people talk about anointing. We've done this before. A lot of people do it. Anointing with oil, there's nothing wrong with it. But remember that oil is not holy oil per se. It doesn't have power in it. It's only a symbol. Even James chapter 5, anointing the sick with oil and then praying the prayer of faith, it's only the symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence. But you can go around and you can anoint. You know, in the Old Testament, when the angel of death was to go by, they, you know, put blood on the doorposts and kind of a marking. So if you go around to your house and all around your house, I've had people go around their properties and anoint and, you know, and as a symbol of God's presence and authority. But the main issue is you're going out there praying and saying, Lord, we're claiming all of this territory, all of our home, everything in it now for you and for your glory. And we're asking you to destroy any and all work of the enemy. And we're, you know, living here and going to express our spiritual life in Christ, our spiritual authority, and take total reign of this area and this place. I would say any church that has had people break in and do rituals or found symbols, like I've gone to here locally, where they've called me in to do to say, hey, Russ, well, this is a symbol on our door. It's blood. There's a goat's head here. Well, they've got some problems. What about another church in Barberton? They've got these occult symbols on the side. Looks like it's done in blood. Do we just wash it off? Well, more than washing it off, pray against whatever the assignment. Pray against whatever the, you know, reasons for. That's why I want to mention, just in case, as more and more pastors, as more and more churches are having individuals, well, even with infiltration, where The goal is to bring in demonized objects. The goal is to do ritual warfare from the coven outside and from the individual inside. Again, asking the Lord, Lord, uncover what's going on here and come against what's going on here. And as the Spirit of God leads you, pray specifically against any demonic assignment. You know, you could pray it out like this. Lord, we come against any and all assignments, any demons that are sent in our direction. We're asking you to expose it, reveal the purpose of it. But in the name of Jesus, we cancel their work, commanding them to be bound, sent away. Lord, destroy the devil's work. And Lord, listen, this is very important. Who's ever doing this, go to them. Disturb them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, disturb them. Disturb them in such a way, trouble them, maybe like in the Old Testament where God gave the pagan demon-worshipping king a dream. Do whatever it takes, Lord. And especially if they are doing some kind of sex ritual with children or blood rituals, Lord, either come in there hard and strong and save them, expose them, deal with them, or stop them, whatever it takes. If they're bringing harm to anybody, if they're doing any rituals, years ago I got in the mail, years ago, a letter unmarked from where it came from. So I opened it up. There's a picture of like a hooded Satanist. This is all hand-drawn, hand-colored in, holding a baby that had been cut. It is dripping blood like off the page. And in red it says, "This blood is for you." A phone call had come in with a voiceover type thing to where you couldn't tell who it was, but you can tell what they said. Now, when the Satanists from that state came over that we were dealing with, I showed it to them. They looked at me with their head down, kind of ashamed. And they said simply to me, "Russ, they did a human baby sacrifice because of you and to send things, to do stuff against you." Well, let me tell you something. If that was true, and so far all that I dealt with this person was true, and if the letter that came in, and I still have it in one of these boxes here somewhere, because I used it as an object of prayer to pray over, and what I did was specifically and in detail pray, "Lord, you search out where these individuals are. And if they have done literally a human baby sacrifice, I'm asking you to deal with them, disturb them, destroy all the satanic powers, destroy all of the powers over their coven." And I mean, we thundered prayers and prayers against thing. And here's what I say. That God, stop them by bringing them down like Saul of Tarshish and saving them. And if there's a complete refusal like Pharaoh, do whatever it takes to stop them. That's right. Do whatever it takes to stop them. So as a believer in Christ, you've been given authority. You have the armor of God on. You're in a day of the highest ramping up in human history when it comes to all of this, warfare and spirits. In every single way, people are experiencing things. Millions are being led astray. My concern is if anybody's listening tonight or during the archive downloads later, if you're being led astray. If you think that Uncle Harry is visiting you and telling you things, it's not Uncle Harry. When a person dies, their spirit goes back to God. It says this in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I have people and psychics and others and readers of the dead that'll get angry with me. And they'll say, "No, this is an aunt. No, I'm reading for somebody else. I'm telling them about, a medium that will sit there and say, we're talking about, your dead child is talking to me and telling me they're okay." And it can sound emotionally good, and they can, listen, spirits can read and perceive those parents and about some history, what's on their mind. And all of a sudden, they're thinking about things about the kid, and the spirit then takes pieces of that information, puts it in the medium's head, and the medium says, "Your child's talking about the play toy that they had that you bought them for their fifth birthday." Oh, they start crying, Please understand, you die, your spirit leaves and goes before God. If you know the Lord, then you are welcomed and embraced, and you see the living Christ, the angels of God. Paradise, my friend, absolute paradise, like on the cross when Jesus said to the man dying that turned to him and turned to him as Lord and Savior and called him Lord. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And only Jesus can say those words, where he's come from. If you're lost and you die and you know you're going, you know, listen, I have been to the bedside where there's been people that just spit on Christ and the cross and they're dying and they're angry and they died in horrific fear because they know all of the weight of their sin, all of the weight of their lostness, all of the weight of everything about them is on them. Hear me now. Out of the grace of God, his word says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Do you have the living Christ? You see, we've sinned and we're dying and we're hellbound and Satan has rights. How are you going to fix that? You can't rub crystals together. You can't have a channeler tell you it's going to be all right. You can't have a New Age dreamer tell you that we all just go off into the nether world. You can't just do drugs. You can't just hope that Aunt Betty comes back to visit you and say you get to have an apartment with her up there in Never Never Land. God that came from eternity came into time and space and out of heaven into our realm to do one thing. Fix the problem because he loved us. And it took a spiritual, incredible act. Sinless life, pure blood, on the cross. For you, sin bearer of the world. All you've ever done taken away in Christ. The power of sin broken, the power of death broken, the power of hell broken, the power of Satan broken when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Any drug lord listening right now needs to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone that's into the dark arts, get out while you can, because you haven't seen hell yet. Jesus Christ summons you by his Spirit. The Lord rebuke all demonic spirits, spirits that cause fear, spirits that would interfere, spirits that would harm individuals, spirits that would confuse, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. May they all be broken and destroyed in their works. Lord Jesus, destroy the devil's work over individuals listening right now. Open hearts and minds by the good Holy Spirit of God. Let people receive Jesus. End of the hour has come. I hear the music, so we're going to say goodnight. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. Good night.